Is everybody seated okay? Ek dink vir ons bid. Ag, dankie Here vir die dag. Dankie dat ons weer kan saamkom om U naam te verheerlik. Dankie dat U nie net aan ons gedink het nie, maar U seun na ons gestuur het. Dat hy vir ons die lewe kan bring, die lewe kan wys, dat hy die lewe is, dat in U die lewe is. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came to show us the Father and that you are faithful, you are true. You have given yourself for us and you have been raised to life so that in you we can live. I pray for this word that it would be a good word in season to speak to you, us, about what you are leading us in. Let what is from you remain, and let what is from me fade away. I pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. So this week we're taking a pause on my journey through Matthew. So, God willing, normal transmission will resume next week. But I just, I felt that the Lord was saying to me to just share a little bit about the year, what He's saying to us about this year. It's something that, it's not new. I've been speaking to the small group, Jock. I don't know if I can come off the monitors here. I'm going to distract myself. but I've been speaking to the small group leaders about it. We've been sort of stuck in the book Haggai as leaders, and just what the Lord has been speaking to us about that. And let me read what I'm talking about. I'm going to read in Afrikaans first, chapter 1, verse 4. It's not going to be up there, the Afrikaans. The good news when we read Haggai, okay, is he's got the distinction as the only Old Testament prophet who was listened to in his day. That's great. If they listen to him then, we can listen to him now, right? So here's what I'm going to share today. Verse 4. Is dit vir julleself wel tyd om in julle betimmerde huise te woon, terwyl hierdie huis in pyn lê? So sê die Here van die leerskare dan nou, gee ag op wat julle wedervaar het. Julle het baie gesaai, maar min ingebring. Julle het geëet, maar nie tot versadiging nie. Julle het gedrink, maar nie genoeg gekry nie. Julle het heel geklee, maar nie warm geword nie. En wie hom vir loon verhuur hom om dit in 'n stikkende beers te steek. So sê die Here van die leerskare, gee ag op wat julle wedervaar het. Klim op die berg en bring hout aan en bou die huis. Dan sal ek 'n welgevalle daarin hê en my verheerlik, sê die Here. Read it in English. Is it a time, this is the Lord speaking through the prophet Haggai, is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your full. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the hills and bring wood and build the house that I may take pleasure in it and that I may be glorified, says the Lord. It's a good word, right? It's just turn to the person next to you and say, this is going to be encouraging. This is going to be encouraging. Yeah? Okay. So why are we sharing this? You know, we've been looking at this as the leaders, and I think it's important to explain why we are changing some things. For instance, this morning with the children in worship, it's in a response to this. Okay, I didn't actually just want the first three rows full. It's in response to what I believe the Lord is calling us in. And here's the thing: this does not say what we were doing previously is wrong. It just means that He is leading us further. Okay. So the things that we are used to, they are good things that we have gotten used to, that we cherish, we value, that are precious to us. that in the last 3 years the Lord has really established in our congregation, they are not off the menu. What I'm saying is, in this year, there will be a focus. And there are things that the Lord is asking us to build. There are things He's asking us to go after as a congregation, as a community, that need to be built that we have not previously built. Okay? And so we're going to unpack that a little bit this morning, what this word means, and I trust that it will encourage you for looking ahead to this year. So let's start in verse 4. Is it a time for yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? Now, the Lord is speaking here to people who have actually returned from exile. And it's an interesting word there. He uses the paneled houses. And you pick that up, paneled houses. It's not just saying, is it a time for you to dwell in houses? The Lord wasn't like, I don't want you to have a house. But He's talking about something specific. The paneling is quite decorative. It's quite luxurious. You in your house with your paneling. And He's confronting them with this fact that they may be making priority decisions as His people that are not in line with where He is going. En ek dink dit is wat hy met ons ook oor praat die laaste tyd. Ek glo dat dis nie dat die Here sê, nee, hulle moet nou uit die huise uittrek nie. Nee, nee, nee. Hy sê, waar is jou prioriteit? Where is your priority here? Because there are things in my house I want built. And you've got the wood in your house. Right? So in other words, it's in our hands. We're not seeking something that we need to now go and find. It's in our hands. We've just put it in the wrong place. Right? So the Lord's speaking to us about. And then He continues. He confronts us. And that's what the gospel comes to do, doesn't it? And and I've said this before. One of John Wesley's frustrations was wherever he preached. He said, wherever I preach, people go from being barflies to being industrious to being sensible with their things. And then this prosperity comes and it's good, but then it gets distracting. And so we continue to confront this in our community. We have to keep saying, okay, the Lord has placed in my hand paneling. What is it for? Okay, He's given us gifts. He's given us grace as a community. In this community, there's such a lot of potential. We just heard it now, that interpretation of the tongue. I will display myself through you. And God has immense potential. All right, so this is where we are at, and He confronts us with this, and we as a community need to just listen and say, okay, Lord, what does this mean? Because there's an experience, this word, consider. You know? If you look in the Hebrew text, it'll say, net gou 'n tip, as jy gaan na soos 'n interlineaar en jy kyk na die Hebreëus, remember they write backwards, okay? Jy gaan 'n bietjie de mekaar wees as jy dit so wil lees. Okay. So wat jy sal sien, as jy na interlineaar toe gaan, you'll see the word consider and then again consider. It's consider, consider. But our translations just say consider. You think it's funny? It's because it's two words. Give you an idea. Consider is to sit it voor jou. Put it there in front of you. And then the second word is let your heart view. So let us put before us, let us consider our ways. Laat ons dit voor ons sit en dan laat ons hart ondersoek doen. Dis wat hy hier vir ons sê. Consider your ways. Look at these things. And how does He want your heart to look at this? He says, well, here may be some experiences of your heart. If this is your approach, if there is some of my paneling for my house in your house, this may be some of your experience. Consider your ways. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them into a bag with holes. If we consider, and our heart says, but that's your story. You're eating, but you're not full. You're discontent. And there's a thing that happens in the life of a Christian, where we get confronted because when we do surrender and the Holy Spirit comes to empower us, there is an outflow of good, and good works flow, and then what happens is we may get distracted by it. But then you lose this contentment. You keep wondering, why am I eating but not full? Why am I drinking but still thirsty? Why do I plant but I cannot harvest? It's your experience. It's not that there isn't a harvest. It's just your experience keeps being discontent. He's saying, consider, let your heart view before you what your priority has been. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? This is what he's saying to us. And then in this, we are not hopeless. In this, we do not just get confronted by this and go, okay, no vidiki. Lost me no he, because then I would stop the sermon here, right? We'd all be like, well, that was really encouraging. Still can't figure it out. What is the Lord saying to us for this year? No, because Jesus came. Because Jesus came. And because Jesus came, he says to us, listen, the harvest is plentiful. The harvest is plentiful. In me, your experience is to be the harvest is plentiful. When you surrender your life and you lay it down, you come and you rise in Christ. You repent of going your own ways and taking my paneling into your house, and you come and you come to me. In me, the harvest is plentiful. Right? What does he say? I have food to eat of that you do not know. My food is to do the will of him who sent me. This is to be our story. We are to have contentment as we do his will, and we experience contentment as we do his will. We have that food. Consider your ways. You drink, but you never have your full. We drink from wells that are broken, and yet he gives us living water. In Christ, our story is to be living water that empowers us, living water that flows into us and through us to those around us. In the gospel, this is our legacy. This is our inheritance. Living water, the Holy Spirit in us, flowing into us, through us, to those around us and for ourselves. Right? Consider your ways. This is your invitation. Will you take hold of it? Living water. You clothe yourselves in, I want to say, self-righteousness. See, the problem with a self-righteous garment is it's got holes in it, doesn't it? So we'll look at that next week when I'm, God willing, back in Matthew. The challenge is it doesn't keep you warm. Yet Christ comes and he lives in our place and he gives to us by faith. We can receive his right standing with the Father, imputed to us by faith, but also imparted. And I have to explain this. What does it mean that his righteousness is imparted to us? His clothing is given to us. It means that you must go and receive it. It's given to you. Your standing before the Father is, yes, in Christ, righteous, blameless, without fault. But now there's something in your life that doesn't feel like that, does it? I don't know, at least in my life, it sometimes feels like that. Because it must not just be imputed to me, not just saved to carry on having that frustration. I must receive it. Lord, you have given me your righteousness. Now, how do I live it out? How do I receive this in my life? How do I wear this garment so that it actually brings life? In the gospel, Christ's life is exchanged so that you can have that. Right, just to remind us, consider us, because this is what happens to us. We get distracted by so many things. And so here's the encouragement, is that we would take hold again of that which is in Christ, which is our inheritance. And it continues. And he who earns wages does so to put them in a bag with holes. Well, that's just terrible. And I have some of these pants, and then you like put something in, and you like send it. Yeah. And here's where Christ invites us. When this is our story, when we are in Christ. And this is our story. He invites us to a life of contentment where we earn eternal rewards. I mean, we've covered that towards the end of last year again and again as we're journeying through the message of the kingdom in the Sermon on the Mount. Blows my mind that God, who not only saves us, empowers us to live a righteous life in Christ, calls us to good works for which there is a reward. What? Why the gospel means good news, I think. I think that's amazing. And here's the invitation. We can receive eternal wages as we take hold of that which he has taken hold of us for. So where does this leave us for this year? If the Lord is speaking to us and saying, listen, you got guys have awesome paneling in your houses. But I have some rooms I want to build. What are we going to do practically? What are we going to do practically? Is we're going to go to this verse. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the hills and bring wood and build the house. What does that mean? There's a couple of areas that we're going to be focused on this year. Like I said, we're not leaving things behind. Right? God has given us things that are good and will remain. But here are some things that if you are part of this part of the body, you're going to see prioritized. There's three things. I'm going to cover them. Children, men, and mission. Okay, if the Lord has been speaking to us about rooms that are lying in disarray in his house, in this house, we're going to prioritize the following. We are an intergenerational church. We have a responsibility to impart to the next generation. We are here because previous generations received. Right? Jesus has been building his church through generations, and that is what we are called to do. So we are looking at things, and it's not like we're not going to change everything overnight, but here's the thing. We have something to impart to this younger generation that we are accountable for, and they have great faith, which they can impart to us. Right? It's a two-way street. We are poorer if we are separated. And so here's what we will be focusing on. We'll be asking questions. How do we integrate better? And yes, it comes with some discomfort. Good news, you have the comforter for that. Right? So here's the thing. In our worship, we're going to be asking questions. We're going to be, and we don't know what all the answers are. We're just trying to follow Jesus, okay? And here's the thing. So we're going to see this in our meetings together, in our gatherings together, but in the other ways that we as a church gather as well. It's not just Sunday mornings. But this is what's going to be prioritized. We're going to ask questions about these things. And that's one of the ways we're starting that also is with the youth. We want to start a small group for the youth in our congregation. That's going to be launching pretty soon with Kuni and Sunal. Very excited about that. But we're just asking the question. How do we impart? How do we make room in our community for that to happen? Right? So, doesn't mean we're not going to do other things. It's just, if you ask me what's the priority, here's one. If you want to be a part of this community, then you're going to see this happen. Okay? And so, the second one is, the Lord's really been speaking, I've been speaking to some of the men. We had a great time in the church plant year, the first year. We had some great time with the men, and yet we kind of left that room unfinished. It's sad, but we do amazing work with Awaken. The Lord's really blessed that. There's such grace on that, just to bring ministry to the women, through the women, and it's amazing. But at the same time, we've kind of not done the room for the men, right? And so there are some things being planned that just watch the space. It's not like tied yet like we have this morning with the children's church, but that's going to be a focus. So if that is something that you feel the Lord stir and he says, well, oh, I have some paneling in my house, so I must go up the mountain, go fetch it or whatever. There's the thing. There's going to be something happening there. Is that your story as well? Because that's where the Lord is leading us as a congregation. And then lastly, we just to remind us, I mean, we've been speaking about mission, and what I mean is like short-term mission, and we've partnered with Eugene Dolman. I mean, if any, it was here on my birthday, the service, I said, please don't do anything for me, just give money to Eugene. Was anybody remember that? So we still continue. We're trying to be intentional with that. I don't know what that looks like, but if you ask me what our priority is going to be this year, I say I believe the Lord is saying we're going to, well, I mean, it would be awesome if we actually could get to where they're planting a church. That would be great because that's what they're doing. You know, the gospel comes through that vehicle. We plant churches, and that's the vision of this part of the body is we reach nations and generations through disciple-making, leadership development, and church planting. So these things are not new. This is just what we're going to do, something practically the focus will be this year. So today is a little bit of a different service. If you hear that for the first time, it's to give us a little bit of a vision for this year and that you understand. You may enjoy what we do, but if you want a partner, this is the house that we want to be building. If the Lord is confronting us with this and he's encouraging us to follow him in this, and to say, consider your ways, this is going to be prioritized in our life. How do we respond to this? Well, maybe if you were considering your ways as I was speaking, something stirred in your heart and you realized, but that is why I'm here, sitting in this seat. Or maybe it was like, okay, Lord, this was awesome. That then isn't what I'm going to do this year. That's also fine. Just follow Jesus. Okay? So here's the thing. How do we respond? First one is pray. These areas that the Lord is asking us to build in are not uncontested areas. With children, with men, with mission, this is ground that needs to be taken prayerfully. Every step we take, we are trusting the Lord to lead us in prayer. In that conversation in prayer, I'm inviting you, I'm asking you, pray with us in this year. And as you pray, second one is partner. If this is the part of the body where you feel this is your home, where the Lord has called you to present yourself for service, partner. Ask the Lord in prayer, what does partnership look like? What does it look like? What is in my hand? You know, we can only do what is within your power to do. What is the Holy Spirit empowering you to do? What is in your hand to be a part of in these areas? What do you partner with? And then the last one is protect. This isn't my vision. This is, I believe, the head of this church is leading us in this. But we as a community have to protect that vision. We don't just pray and we don't just partner, but we say we protect, we hold accountable, we contend for this. Because there's a blessing on this. This is what the Lord's called us to do. But there's going to be frustration. There's going to be growth areas. There's going to be need for a comforter. Okay? But what is on your tongue? Are you speaking for it or against it? And that is as simple as this morning's sermon is going to be. I trust it has encouraged you to just consider and to ask the Lord, Holy Spirit, come and lead me. What is it that we are doing and what is it that I am going to be doing in this year with this? We can all pray, right? I believe all of us can partner in some way in one of these areas and all of us will have an opportunity to protect, to say, no, no, no. Not Craig's idea, it's not the leadership's idea. We're following Jesus in this. He will provide. Right? Will you stand with me? I want to pray this benediction from Hebrews 13. It's one of my favorites. But especially at the start of the year, where we are talking about things that, you know, we've come here with certain disappointments maybe, and maybe some of these things were touching nerves and triggering for some of us. But in this, the encouragement is that in the gospel, the story is different. The gospel says, in Christ, there is a harvest. In Christ, there is a will that is food. In Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit. In Christ, there is righteousness. In Christ, there is a work to do. And so we respond to that this morning. And I want to pray this over us as we end this morning's service. Now may the God of peace, the God of shalom, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And just to remind us, he invites us to build this because he wants to take pleasure in it and be glorified through it. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace in Jesus' name. Amen.